You might be familiar with a man named Prince William from across the pond who is going to be king someday. We are not him. We are from the heart of Northern Virginia, and you're listening to the Other Prince William podcast, where we bring stories from business owners and leaders from our community in Greater Prince William County, Virginia. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with our proud sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide, a quick and easy way to find your ride. Get there smarter with OmniRide, your public transportation agency located in Prince William, Virginia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Other Prince William Podcast, a project of the Prince William Chamber of Commerce. I'm Michelle Davis Younger, Mayor of the City of Manassas, and it is my honor and privilege to join you today on Love Day. Oh. We love you all, and thank you so much for tuning in with us.
You look great in red.
Thank you.
I didn't even think about that color, on Valentine's Day.
Yes, you have to wear red and black on Valentine's Day.
I am Bob Sweeney, and I am the president and CEO of the Prince William Chamber of Commerce, and it's really appropriate we're here today because we love OmniRide, and we get to be with our good friend Bob Schneider, who's the president and CEO of OmniRide, and I really look forward to having this discussion. It's going to be a lot more than just about buses. Guaranteed.
So before we dive into talking about OmniRide, talk a little bit, Dr. Bob. Is that bothering you when I
not
say
at
Dr.
all?
Okay, I'm sure I'm not the only one that does.
Not at all. And depending on how long you've known me, I'm also Dr. Bobby.
Okay. I hadn't gone that far. So before we start talking about OmniRide, tell us a little bit about your background before you got involved in transportation.
This year in September will be 25 years in transit, which means I will have been in transit more years than I wasn't.
Okay.
So I'm approaching that point. But my origin story is I wanted to be a high school history teacher.
Wow.
I fell in love with history and the classroom and got to graduate school, or I went to college, and I looked around and I was like, this is kind of a cool place. So then I looked around and went, there's graduate students, so I can do that and then I can be a professor. So my whole goal was to be a professor of history or political science.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't decide until I got into my Civil War class. And I loved every bit of it till the bullets started flying, and I just didn't care. I enjoyed the political side of it, the elections, the impact of war on society, the issues surrounding the actual issues of causation for the Civil War. So I was like, I'm a political scientist. So that's what inspired me. Went over the mountains from Western Carolina to the University of Tennessee to get my MPA, Master of Public Administration. Mm-hmm. And I did that because the rule is, if you're going to write a dissertation, don't waste a good research idea on a master's degree.
Got it.
Save the good idea. But to get through that program, I had to have an internship.
Okay.
And the internship was with the mayor's office, and the mayor's office oversaw transit.
Nice.
So I'm a political scientist by trade. I expected to finish my degree, but I was doing good work in the mayor's office, and the CEO of the transit system, hey, you want to do something? I said, I'll do it for 2 years, and then I quit. And I never quit. And finished my PhD while working.
Wow.
Multiple promotions. I was the chief operating officer when I finished my doctorate in political science, studying the relationship between transit CEOs and board members in transit systems. So kind of like a national expert in how boards are organized, developed, designed, even nonprofit, but mainly public authorities, especially transit authorities.
Okay.
And so like I thought I was going to go be a professor. And I saw what they make.
Oh, yeah.
And,
Know,
and we had two young daughters, so I'm like, I can make a career out of this, figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I figured out also that I can also teach.
Yeah.
Right? I can do things in the community. Yeah. So it's, I don't have to be just a transit CEO. I can be all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So by being all those things, I really get a very fulfilled life.
Right? Yeah.
That's what I love is about doing this job is it's about community. It's not about transit alone. It's all the other pieces,
right.
Which is, again, political science. It's government. It's policy. It's social impact. It's all those different kinds of things wrapped into one.
And you get to work with great mayors.
Great mayors. Great mayors. Great chambers.
Always helps.
Yes.
And other CEOs. Yeah.
Obviously, you could run a chamber because we live parallel lives. First of all, I grew up Bobby also. I didn't know that you did.
We have the same initials.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I went to school to be a history major
oh
because
my God.
I wanted to work in a museum. It was my goal, be a curator of a museum. And I had a double major at West Virginia University, history and philosophy. And you know, I thought the same thing when I got my first job at the, I was doing African American history at Gadsby's Tavern Museum in Old Town Alexandria. And I was like, oh my God, this $7 an hour is going to get me nowhere. And so it's very funny that we live these parallel existences.
Student loans are dream killers.
Yeah, student loans are dream killers. That'll do it.
The Other Prince William podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide is a public transportation agency located in the Prince William area of the Northern Virginia region. In an area known for some of the worst congestion in the United States, OmniRide strives to provide a family of travel options that meet the needs of the residents and businesses within our community. OmniRide's goal is to be recognized as the easier way for people to get where they want to go through multiple and convenient transit options, including our commuter and local bus services, carpools, vanpools, ride sharing, and their partnership with the instant carpooling community.
So we are super excited to be here.
Yes.
You're the very first CEO I met when I took my job.
Wow.
The first person I came out to meet in your offices. I don't know if you remember it, but we were sitting opposite seats. You were here, I was there. I walked back to your office with you, and because you had an emergency call, but it wasn't an emergency. You didn't know it was an emergency. You just kind of said, I got a call I got to take. We walked back to your office. It was one of your dispatchers calling you because she was on the bus with the mayor's mother. This mayor's mother.
Oh, it was me? Oh, wow.
And she had an accident. Was oh my God, accident? I'm not supposed to be here for this conversation. Okay. Oh my God.
Was that the accident at the dialysis center when that lady ran into the back of her? Because I was there.
It was the passing of your husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was
that awful, terrible, okay, gotcha.
And,
gotcha.
And so, yeah. But during that conversation, and I think it's like that, like big, bold news. You being the CEO of a transportation company that runs big buses.
Down.
And all you were talking about was a little two-wheel motorcycle that you were dying to go get on. And so I am really, really curious. And your history background makes you a great storyteller. And so I'm like totally infatuated with the whole thing, you know, the whole nine yards. And I would love for you to tell us a story of... really, your favorite time on the bike, on when you're kind of just out there, it's you're by yourself, right? And you are traveling across, I think, country, maybe even, or big trips.
Yes.
Tell us about one. Or
my favorite that I've ever taken was the first trip I ever took really by myself for a couple of days. I'd taken the bike to a conference, but one day on the bike, you're staying at a hotel, you're doing professional work. This one was... family was out of town. All my meetings got canceled, and I looked at an empty calendar, and I'm like, I got vacation days. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I had no idea where to go. When I say I have no idea where, I had no idea where to go. And I was like, well, your goal is to visit all the presidents. Gravesites.
Okay.
And I was missing the two Nixon and Reagan in California, and 14 on Eastern Seaboard. So I got on my bike, called my best friend, and said, can you put me up tomorrow night? And he goes, sure. Boom, I was in Cleveland the next day. So from Columbia, South Carolina, to Cleveland, then the next morning, got up and ended up in Grand Rapids, Michigan to see Gerald Ford. Then I was in Canada, spent the night in Canada in some Airbnb. So stayed in people's houses and Airbnbs along the way. Soon I found myself crossing Niagara Falls into Vermont, stayed at some oddball lady's house, and very nice. And 14 presidents, it took me 7 days, 14 presidents, and 3,500 miles. And it was just me by myself.
Wow.
Head on a swivel, hadn't been to New England before, had not, I took a motorcycle through downtown Manhattan by accident. So it's like, it's 100 degrees. And it's like, but your head's on a swivel.
Just
a very different experience. And that it's so memorable because I saw so many different places. Yes, I crossed into Canada. It's like, oh, that's not really different. Yes, it is.
It is.
It's very different. Mm-hmm. It's different culturally. It's different socially. Mm-hmm. But to be in Columbia, South Carolina, and 2 days later, you're sleeping in Canada.
Yeah, that's...
It's, and I crossed apart. Through coal country. I crossed through Mennonite country. I got gas and then had to wait for a horse and buggy to pass me in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
So you saw a lot of different things on that
that's
trip.
That's so cool. That's so
and to
cool.
have it all crammed in, whether it's Arlington National Cemetery or Mount Vernon or Calvin Coolidge, whose family estate isn't a cheese farm.
Wow, nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, so it's a dairy. Wow. And so to see all that different was just a lot of fun.
So, you know, I ride a motorcycle too. A lot of people don't know that. And so I haven't been on in a while, but I have my motorcycle license. And so I share that love because I know what it is to just get on that thing and go and let your mind just be free and ride. It is absolutely invigorating to be able to do that. I've never done a trip that far, but I think the farthest I've been is Pennsylvania. We did a run up there. I've been to Virginia Beach, and I was the only female in the group that was riding, so that was pretty badass, but pretty good.
Absolutely.
But pretty good. So how has your love of travel had an impact on your vision for transportation? Because I know it has had to.
Every great city has great transit.
Yep.
And every community has a different approach to it. One of the things, again, that political science background is you can go to every city, and every city structure is different. Mm-hmm. So you as a mayor know this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you go to Richmond, and you talk to your colleagues that are mayors of cities, and they have, maybe they're a strong mayor, it's a weak mayor system, it's a council format, and even then, how they set up their council districts may be different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take all those concepts of governance and governance and put them into your utilities, your road network, your libraries, your schools, and all that uniqueness shows up in transit. You also have different people have different needs. Is it a social service need? Is it a get to work need? Or is it a commuter need? Mm-hmm. You stack all those things in. It's how you share information. So it really reflects the people and it reflects the government of that community. So when we travel, we purposely ride the bus.
Wow. So you can see firsthand.
Firsthand, how does it work? How does it look?
Absolutely.
How does it function? What do we get right? Take a picture, send it to a staff member. Hey, check this out. Here's a good idea. We were just down at Vaco in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Walking around just to get some fresh air. And the next morning, I took pictures of something cool that Richmond's transit system does that we might be able to take advantage of. So what's nice is you can't ride our bus and Richmond's bus at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
so we share ideas because there's no competition.
Right.
Imagine having that scenario where everyone gets to win when it works.
Absolutely. That's great. Awesome.
That is great. I'm really fortunate to be in this year's class of Leadership Prince William. And on our transportation day, we were out here visiting you. And we got to ride in a bus that I believe you spent $700,000 on 4 hours ago, or maybe it was 10 hours ago. It had just arrived.
Wow.
Not one other person had been on it yet. Can you share some ways that OmniRide has modernized and embraced technology and all of the services that it provides?
Absolutely. So we have just common sense technology of the bus. There are so many moving pieces. Mm-hmm. It is an unbelievable piece of machinery. We think cars are complex. More wheels, the brake systems are I was a director of maintenance for a few years too, and I've just learned so much in that process. But the actual bus, even though it's a diesel bus, is infinitely cleaner than it was even 10 years ago. I think 20 years ago, it's way cleaner. So you're already getting an environmental benefit of that technology. Yes, we're looking at electric vehicles, for example. I'll cover that in just a minute for a smaller fleet, but those big buses allow us to take up to 57 cars off the road when they're full because there's 57 passengers.
Yeah.
Every single gallon of gasoline emits 19.5 cubic feet of CO2.
Wow.
So if you drive and you burn 1 gallon of gas, so if those 57 people, that's enough CO2 to fill up this room.
Wow.
So when you start to think about technology and all those different things, that becomes part of the equation. So that newer technology, by us having, we use ultra low sulfur diesel. The engines have particulate traps to keep the NOx and the VOCs out of the atmosphere. We become a cleaner technology. But on top of that, we have mobile ticketing. You can track to see where your bus is or what time it's coming.
Don't I know
we,
it.
Those, so there's all those different things that we bring into the
Love
workplace.
It. Love it.
In addition, we have safety and security components that we can track where that bus is, but we can also peek in real time. So if something's going on, PD can actually see what's happening inside the vehicle. So we look at it from a safety and security standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're looking at it from a reliability standpoint. We're looking at it for a customer service standpoint. But technology is so important in transit because even 15 years ago, you didn't have an iPhone. So you just walked to the bus stop and you stood there.
Yeah.
And you waited till the bus came and you left.
Yeah.
Well, once they put a phone in your hand, then you could call your friends to say, can I get a ride?
Mm-hmm.
Then when they put the tracker where you could order an Uber or see where the nearest bike share is, our competition got a lot harder.
Mm-hmm.
So we have really struggled as an industry to advance that cause. And now we're starting to do much better, which makes OmniRide better.
Yeah.
And our tagline is get there smarter. Because there's so many different ways to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do it the smart way.
Mm.
And we're that option most of the time.
Good, good. That's great. I know OmniRide and Keep Prince William Beautiful and Filigreen, shout out City of Manassas, Filigreen, have partnered to
yes.
work together on sustainability options. So I'd like to hear about the partnership like these and how they work together with OmniRide to improve the community.
Yes.
So how does all that work?
It actually all happened at a chamber event.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What, kind
that's
of what
so
inspired
cool.
it.
Yay, chamber.
You know, I mentioned, you know, we're an environmentally conscious organization. We have our own functioning internal green team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of part of what inspired it. But, you know, we're buying electric vehicles. We just placed our first order through the board last week. So shout out to City of Manassas, Manassas Park, Prince William, who are helping to fund these vehicles so we can introduce small and medium duty vehicles as EVs in the community. We'll have a great ribbon cutting.
Wow.
We'll do all those cool things. But
great.
The Filigreen happened, we were at KO Distilling for a chamber event, City of Manassas.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
And was it Michael Whitlock, who just grabs people.
Yes, yes, he
says,
does that very well.
Right, he goes, you're an environmental
Here.
You're an environmental leader. Have you heard of this business named Filigreen?
Yes.
And I had just walked past it like 3 or 4 days before on my way to a meeting.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So he introduced us.
There you go.
And he's like, we sell environmentally conscious products.
Yep.
And so the whole idea was I have a green team. He's focused on a retail component. He's a small business.
Mm-hmm.
His customers, he wants them to be environmentally conscious.
Mm-hmm.
We are an environmentally conscious option, and we run right in front of the store. So when we put all those things together, I said, we'll be in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And we took our green team over to the Filigreen location right about Christmas time. We even got love bombed by Santa Claus when he came in singing carols. And Keep Prince William Beautiful is at the table too, because we've had a partnership with them in that we do art in transit.
I love
so
it.
So part of, it's not just the environmental component, but the theme has been environmentalism in communities.
That's great.
So we have
that's freaking awesome.
Different shelters placed all over Manassas and Prince William County done by local artists that reflect that concept of clean living, clean cities, clean environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really wonderful partnership. Well, then last week, the owner of Filigreen came over to our facility and talked to our employees about sustainability as just a person in the city, person living in the community. These are things that you can do. I think it was called imperfect sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do everything exactly the right way. And talk to our employees about what that impact can be.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have some other employees that are interested in, where's this Filigreen place? We want to go.
Yeah.
We want to shop there because it's done some inspiration. So that's a case where the chamber, you know, it's that chocolate and that peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah.
And it fits the bill.
Yeah, that's
great.
Awesome.
It is beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's a beautiful story. It even goes further than you know. So after you met with John and Rico the first time, I met with them. And I just ran into them randomly. And they pulled me aside and told me the partnership that you were doing. And now they have created a partnership so that Rico will have mobile vans that his people will be driving around with a refillery in the back of the van for John Hicks around the county to open up John's commercial side and help John kind of get the sustainability into the commercial practice. And we have a brand new office, the chamber does, opening up, and we're going to be his first customer. So it's automatic refill every month. he swings by and refills our sub dispensers and with all sustainability products. It's beautiful, and it's really because, honestly, you encouraged him. That's what happened, and so now he's really focused on his other side of the
business. Again, the hero in the story is Michael Whitlock.
Who just basically, the hero of the story is always Michael Whitlock.
It's the October or November meeting. He just said, "You guys both care about this," and next thing you know, here we are.
I'm telling you, that's so awesome.
So. Prior, I've never used this word in a sentence in my entire life, but I'm about to.
Okay.
The word is Idaho. Nobody uses the word Idaho in a sentence, but prior to your position with OmniRed, you worked in Idaho and South Carolina, I believe.
Yes.
And after working in all these different sectors and parts of the industry, what do you think the biggest challenge is in transportation in 2024?
The willingness to pay for it. We pay for our highways based off a gas tax. We pay for transit based off a gas tax.
Yeah.
We pay for, we don't run the Postal Service off just stamps anymore, right? You fund your education with complex and different formulas, but in almost every, at the federal level, there's a federal gas tax, which barely increases. When I was in South Carolina, they hadn't moved the gas tax in 25 years.
Wow.
A total of $4 million, I'm sorry, let me get this number right. It was $1 million for the entire state of South Carolina for mass transit funding. And there were 4 million people.
Wow.
No, I got it wrong. It was here's why. It was $2 million for 4 million people. Because it was 50 cents per man, woman, and child was the amount of money they were willing to give for transit for the whole state. So it really now fell in localities. But then the state likes to control, for example, what can localities raise for taxes. So again, people ask, what's a PhD in political science doing studying the transit system? Those exact things. And so we have the same scenario. Mm-hmm. Each time the state adjusts the gas tax, you can get more done, but it only goes so far.
Right.
And so what we have a willingness to do is we'll build a Taj Mahal garage, we'll have pretty decorative driveways, beautiful, amazing cars. People will pick the car based exclusively on the color. They'll spend $72,000 on a new vehicle without really even thinking about it. But then we won't turn around and do the transit, which helps the people that's your phlebotomist, that's your barista, that's your home healthcare worker, that's getting access, that's senior citizens who just can't drive anymore. Or one of my favorite customers I have when I was in South Carolina, she was a practicing nurse, but she had epilepsy. And so she was not allowed to have a driver's license.
Right. But
how does she get to her job treating
people? She had to get there.
And so she worked at the VA.
Wow.
So we were her connection between her community and helping veterans, but because she had epilepsy, if we didn't have that service for her, think of the veterans that are impacted. So we don't think about it, but I can assure you there's at least one other person besides me that you've crossed in your day that has had their lives touched by transportation or transit. You had it touched very badly on 234 jammed in traffic. So
speaking of,
when one bus goes through one intersection, that's like 57 cars going through the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So we don't think about
right,
it that
no,
way.
No,
but if we,
I never
know,
would.
Right. Yeah. If you've been to Europe and everyone says, "Oh, I go to Europe in New York City." Well, of course, you're on vacation. You didn't bring your car.
Right.
But if I knocked your car keys out of your hand, and you had to get around, you would suddenly be a lot more interested in funding mass transit.
Yeah.
And
wow.
So that's a big part of, you know, those different challenges. Mm-hmm. What I can say is what's so different about every other place I've worked is no one questions the need for mass transit here.
Mm-hmm.
The traffic's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The city, the community's growing. City of Manassas, Manassas Park, Prince William County.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question whether we need it.
Yeah.
It now just comes down to how much do we want to pay for it.
Right.
And that's one of those, that's what the big challenge is.
Right.
We were fortunate pre-pandemic, and we made a lot of money off the commuter services that helped offset some of those expenses. What's shifted is now our local services are booming. And you can tell by the amount of development in the city, in the county, et cetera, all those businesses are now keeping our workers home. So they don't have to go all the way into D.C. for that job. They don't have to go to Fairfax.
Right.
They get the job here.
Right.
Well, now they need transportation options to get from Woodbridge because they don't want to commute 50 minutes each way in the morning.
Right.
So that's what we're having to look at is how do we now have for the first time cross-county consistent connections to reduce traffic, to get job access, to build economic development, and do all those things. We have shifted from being that commuter service to part of the economic engine.
Nice.
beautiful.
So the traffic we know in Northern Virginia.
I love.
Congested, love it.
It helps us.
Well, try to get over here today. And so alternative transportation is definitely important. But talk a little bit about how OmniRide is adding additional routes, route additions, and going forward. What are you working on?
Right. This past 2 years, our focus has been on two things. Number one, introducing a service called MicroTransit. Mm-hmm. MicroTransit is an Uber provided by us. It's our employee, our vehicle, and there's an app for that.
Okay.
And so we just put it in a geographic dedicated zone. And the reason we did that is we had routes that weren't performing that well. Mm-hmm. Before the pandemic, we did a reshuffle of the services in Manassas Park and Prince William County. And we did such a good job that two of the routes siphoned off all the passengers. Mm-hmm. And the passengers who were riding in the other area, we thought let's get more access to more rooftops. Let's have a bigger zone. Because when that bus goes down that road, you're now constrained by how far and how easy it is to walk to that road.
Right.
But we're a very cul-de-sac-y community, which makes it really hard to get around and between. Mm-hmm. So we put that zone in, and now we serve more rooftops, more people. We don't have identical ridership, but we're actually serving different people than we did before. So more humans are being touched by that. The success of that allowed us to then introduce, so that was a swap for productive for unproductive service. Well, we then took that model and took it to Dumfries.
Okay.
And so we now have a service that expands up in the Montclair community for the first time.
Okay.
So now we have a micro transit zone that allows you to get from town of Quantico, Fuller Heights, Triangle, Dumfries, and connects all of that for the first time.
That's great.
What's important with these zones is they connect to fixed routes. Mm-hmm. So they connect to downtown Manassas, so you can then jump on the bus and get a Ashton.
That's awesome.
And you can jump on the bus and get her to Liberia. Or you can go to Eastern Prince William.
Or go to Tyson's if you're in
Manassas. You go to Tyson's, exactly. Yeah. So you have all these different options that you didn't have before.
Right.
The same thing is on the eastern side of the county, where once we connect you in Dumfries, you don't have access to all of Eastern Prince William, including access to VRE and access to the metro station.
Right.
So it really does change the game into how you can get around.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah.
Wow. So if you could give, this is the old man, Dr. Bob question.
Okay.
If you could give any advice to someone who wanted to start a career in transportation, what would that be?
Study what you love and then go to work in transportation. Because we are an industry that, my boss got his degree from UVA in chemistry.
Wow.
My other boss, he got his job in marketing and thought he was going to go to Madison Avenue. Another one of my friends is a political scientist. He was going to be a football teacher. So he studied political science because he thought it would be easy. And he could be basically then go be the baseball coach or a football coach, whatever it was. Our industry is littered with people who did something else.
Yeah.
But what that means is you have value in something you love, and you have an education and a passion.
Right.
So if you studied art, we have a home for you, because you can learn our industry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is an instance where it's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have something you love and you care about, and you have that knowledge, you bring in a level of energy and a vision that other organizations might not have.
Wow.
And the other thing that I would just share to anyone is it's transit is that part of it, but it's always interesting. There is never a day that is the same. Some days
That's
make
great.
You want to cry.
Oh, yeah.
Some days make you want to jump up and down like you won the gold medal in women's gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's just flat. And even those days
are
interesting.
Yeah.
They're interesting.
Yeah.
The conversations, the emails, the topics, the subjects, the phone calls you get. Whether you can spend an hour studying what's going on in Richmond, or you can study electric vehicles and what's going on with emissions issues. You can go as far as you want to in terms of keeping yourself engaged, active, and interested based on what you love.
That's great. That's awesome. Good advice. So before we wrap it up, heard you're an avid music lover.
I am.
What is a song that you would suggest is your favorite?
My favorite song for Valentine's Day. This is my second favorite song.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Well, this is my second favorite song of all time.
Okay.
So it's right there.
Okay.
My favorite song is Rosalita by Bruce Springsteen. I just love it.
Okay.
I fell in love with it when I was a kid. I don't know why. And I just still love
is.
It. But the second song that I love, it's Little Darlin' by the Count Basie Orchestra.
Okay.
It is gorgeous.
All right.
It is beautiful.
Good.
It is haunting.
We'll have to check it out.
I was a musician in high school, and I played bass, and I love it.
Oh, nice.
You can hear every instrument. You can hear exactly what jazz should sound like.
Okay.
And it's a great song for Valentine's Day.
Awesome.
Little Darling.
That's awesome. Great. Thanks for that. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us today. We would encourage you to stay connected by following the other Prince William podcast on your favorite podcast platforms listed in the description.
And before we say goodbye, I want to always remind you that we are going to keep supporting our local businesses and artists and entrepreneurs. But most importantly, we've been talking to Bob Schneider today, but he is supported by an amazing team. And there is one person in particular in this company I want on this podcast, and her name is Holly Morello.
Yes.
She is amazing rock star.
We love Holly.
So thank you for everything.
Yes, yes. And, and personally.
Bob, it was really nice.
Really nice to be with you
today.
Personally, you know, I am just so grateful to know you and what you all have done in my family for my mom. You know, we know she's on dialysis, has to take OmniRide. I am your best spokesperson because I'm like, call OmniRide.
And now you've seen.
I see.
You see the impact.
Yes.
And so when you magnify that by thousands of people.
Yes. I'm one.
You are one.
I mean, you added the Saturday service, and that I was running and ripping like crazy three times a week. She was spending $1,200 a month, and that saved that, having OmniRide. So I'm just grateful. I had to put that in because, you know, I'm grateful. I text the heck out of you when stuff doesn't work, but 99% they're great on. That's it. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Take care, everyone, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Other Prince William.
Thank you for joining us today for our discussion. Be sure to check out the note caption and learn more about today's guest and more about their work. Please be sure to check out our sponsor. This is a great way to support our podcast and the work we continue to do discussing business in the greater Prince William County, Virginia region. If you have suggestions, topics, or questions to discuss with the team, please be sure to add your comments in the videos on our YouTube page. We read your comments and value your feedback. If you haven't already subscribed, please be sure to subscribe now and stay updated on all the upcoming guests and announcements. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to bringing you more inspirational stories from local business owners, creators, and entrepreneurs from the amazing business community here in our area.